Hi, I'm Lucy and welcome to Lucy Talks. This podcast is all about finding meaning, self-belief and connection while embracing the seasons of your life. I believe that your happiness matters for the planet. When we are fulfilled and feeling self-confident, we are so much more able to take meaningful action, both in our lives and for social change. I want this podcast to dare you to reimagine your own life and the world we live in, and to feel empowered to make changes. All of this while using the lens of the changing seasons to allow for softness, kindness, and balance. I'm so excited to have you here. Let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome back to Lucy Talks. Thank you for tuning in, and yeah, happy Monday if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. I hope you've had a good week so far. Currently for me it is Sunday afternoon, and it's just started absolutely chucking it down, so I'm hoping that by the time I finish recording this it stops, because I need to go down to the train station and I don't want to get soaked with all of my stuff. So hopefully that stops. I feel like it will, because it's only just started, and it's one of those where it's like absolutely chucks it down and then we'll probably stop in a few minutes. So let's hope. I don't understand. It's the end of April. As you're listening to this, it's May. Like, firstly, where is the time gone? And also, why is it still so cold and rainy and just like gross in the UK? Anyway, going to Barcelona tomorrow, so that's exciting. I'll be able to get some sun, maybe, although I think it is meant to rain there as well. But yeah, regardless, it'll be great. Really excited for a bit of a change of scenery, for a little break, to feel like, without being too dramatic, like someone in their early 20s again. I've been really enjoying the last few months, because while I was away, I feel like I've said this a million times, while I was away travelling, and I don't want to sound like that person that's always like, oh, when I was travelling. But anyway, when I was travelling, I was kind of overwhelmed by the pace of life, and like everything was going so quickly. You're in a different place every couple of days. And then we've kind of had the opposite now for the last few months. So not really been like, you know, going places, doing that much, just been kind of working, earning money, kind of spending time just at home. And I'm very grateful that I've been able to stay down here with Freya and her parents. That's very, very kind of them. Like genuinely very kind. And yeah, I've really been enjoying the last few months. But we kind of say sometimes that it does feel like we've kind of, I don't know, it just feels like you've grown up quite a lot. It feels very adult, feels very much like a departure from uni life and all of that excitement. You're around people all the time. You're, even if you're like doing work, you're in the library, you're sociable, you're around other people. You most likely will bump into a few people that you know if it's a busy day on campus, at least in like second year, and well, not second year, third year and fourth year for me, which I just loved, and I didn't appreciate how good that was at the time, but now I'm like, oh my god, it was so good just being able to, you know, casually go and have lunch with someone, or, you know, work together in the library. Being able to have those kind of casual plans without it being like a whole event that you need to schedule and people need to have time off work for and you need to book trains for, you know, it makes it a lot harder to see people. And it's sad because I miss my friends. I really miss my friends. But yeah, what was I saying? So yeah, Freya and I are going to Barcelona. It's my birthday on Tuesday. So am I excited? I kind of hate my birthday. I kind of love it and I kind of hate it. Once it is my birthday, I really enjoy it. But the whole like the day I really enjoy, mostly. But the build up and the kind of expectations around birthdays, to be like having a great time and to have plans and to be doing things and, you know, just like to be happy, I guess. I find that expectation quite, I don't know, it often like has the opposite effect, and I'm like, oh yeah, but I need to be having the best time. Or like also the age thing, you're getting older, and I know I'm turning 23, like it's not that old, but also it's kind of, I'm getting into my mid-20s now, like what? I swear I literally just turned 19. I swear I just turned 20. It's honestly kind of crazy. But yeah, turning 23, which just feels a lot older than 22. It probably is one of those things that every year it seems a lot older. But in my mind, like 22, like I was still at uni at 22. I was still, you know, just in that kind of age group of young, like people in your 20s. And obviously I am still young and in my 20s. So, you know. But time just seems to be going so fast, and I can't believe we've already done a third of the year. it's just, it's a little bit mind-boggling. And yeah, now I'm turning 23. That's, it's crazy. But I'm very excited to have plans and to be going somewhere different, just having some time to spend with Freya and I. So yeah, I've never been to Barcelona before. I've been to Spain once when I was like a toddler. So this is going to be a very fun experience, I hope, and I'm really excited for it. Let's get into a few little gratitudes before we start with the main episode. So firstly, I'm very grateful because we're going to be going to Barcelona, which is awesome. Secondly, I had a really good week at work. I had a couple of days at the start of the week when I wasn't at the cafe, but I was doing like swimming teaching and tutoring and then getting on with kind of applications. And I had some good news this week in terms of the job application hunt. So that is good. Gives me a bit of like, I don't know, just hope that it is going somewhere. You spend so long doing these applications and it's just, I don't know, like, it just feels a bit disheartening sometimes, but when you get good news, it does add a little boost to your week, so that's nice. Last night at work, I was doing one of our supper clubs, and it's just such a nice little vibe. All the candles are on, made the restaurant look really pretty, and yeah, we got to eat some of the dinner, which is always a massive win. Really good food, so that was good. And thirdly, oh my god, Tortured Poets. Oh my god, oh my god. Okay. I have seen some really like shitty reviews for this album and I genuinely just don't understand it. I don't get how people can listen to this masterpiece of an album. Two albums, masterpiece of two albums. Can you tell I'm a Swiftie? I don't know how people can listen to these albums and think they're bad. Like, and think this is her flop era. Like, I've seen people refer to this as her flop era. I'm like, this is the best writing she's ever produced. The sound is so cohesive, so pretty. Like, especially the second half, like the anthology section, so beautiful, like all of those instruments and just, oh, it's so gorgeous. Her vocals are just like, she's improved so much since the early albums. I feel like, yeah, she just, her voice is like, oh, gorgeous. And I just don't know how people can think this is bad. I'm listening to every word. I'm like on the edge of my seat. I've been diving into all of the lyrics, like having the best time, honestly, watching like reaction videos and just hearing people's like interpretations of it, trying to decode certain lyrics. And I just, it's the best time. I don't know how people can not appreciate this album. Like, you know, everyone has their own opinions. Fair play. Like, it's great. I'm not saying everyone has to like the same music, but I don't really get like the negative criticism, but we have been here before. I remember this after Reputation because I absolutely loved that album when it came out. It was such like a departure from her earlier stuff and really kind of, I don't know, just like revamped her image. She hadn't recorded an album in like 3 years at that point, which, you know, considering the rate that she's churning them out nowadays is like, that's a long time. So yeah, it was, I just loved it, but a lot of people at the time didn't like that either. But now, everyone loves Reputation, or most people do anyway. So I don't know, maybe it's one of those things, but I just am obsessed with it. I can't stop listening to it. I wake up and it's in my head. I'll have it on in the day. I'll listen to it on my way to work, on my way back. Like, I think I'm a bit obsessed. But yeah, it's just great. The Florence cover, I love Florence and the Machine, and oh my gosh, not cover, feature, that song, Florida, wow, it's just so good. The combination of their voices is amazing. I also love Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, the kind of circus imagery. I love Clara Bow and the kind of three different sections of that and touching on that kind of idea that we have that there can only be like one successful woman at a time, kind of questioning that. I've seen people react to this and say that it seems like she's kind of winding down and she's saying like, here's time for the next artist, like this is a time for the next up and coming artist to come through. And she's not saying that they shouldn't, but she's kind of saying like, why does that only have to be one? But people are saying that, oh great, like it means she's having a break. And I'm like, I don't think it is. I also love The Albatross, that's a brilliant song, and How Did It End, I just think is gorgeous. So High School and But Daddy I Love Him, I think those are just like the perfect like boost of energy and excitement and just happiness, so I love those. And The Prophecy, I love The Prophecy. so good. Honestly, I could literally go through and name them all, but I will stop the Taylor Swift chat because you probably are tired. People are referring to it as TSF, Taylor Swift fatigue. So I'll let you have a break and recover. But yeah, I am obsessed, so obsessed. If anyone wants to chat about it, just drop me a message. I'll be right there. Okay, so today's episode, we're going to be talking about trusting the process, which is one of these phrases that gets chucked around all the bloody time. All the time people talk about trust the process, you know, let go, surrender, you know, all of this. And I kind of want to unpack what that actually means. Like, what do people mean when they say trust the process? What does that actually look like? Does that mean sit back and not do anything? Does that mean take action? Does that mean stick to a rigid plan? You know, what does this actually mean? And how can we actually trust the process in a way that's going to help us? So that's what I'm going to chat about today. I think it'll be a slightly shorter episode. But yeah, I hope you enjoy regardless. We'll see, probably end up being a long one. Okay, so firstly, what do people mean when they say trust the process? I had a little Google and there's a lot of different opinions on this. I just kind of scrolled down the article lists, of which there are many, many, many articles saying trust the process, how to do it, is it good, is it bad, whatever. So one article said this idea of trusting the process means you have to stick with that process, don't stray from it, trust that it's going to work out for you, don't let that kind of intrusive thoughts cloud your judgment, like stick to what you've set out to do and follow it through and it'll work. Another perspective is like trust the process. Another perspective is that trusting the process is a really bad idea and that you can use a process and follow it, but you should never trust it implicitly. You should never follow it blindly and not take into account everything else going on. So that's another perspective. Another one says, if you want a cool life, trusting the process means being willing to look silly sometimes. Kind of adding in this like playfulness, not being too forced or like restrictive over what you're doing, just having this like bigger picture thinking and being a bit goofy, being a bit silly, letting go of those like judgments of other people. And another one says, trusting the process means being willing to put in the work and time necessary to see the results. So it's that kind of longer term vision, putting in the work over a certain time and you will over time see that process start to get results. You'll have put that time in and yeah, time will do it for you, so to speak. So all like very different ideas. I wonder which one was most closely related to what you had in your head when I said that at the start. And I think that for me, trusting the process, the first thing I think about is this idea of zooming out. So whilst you might not be able to see the long-term vision or plan, or if something bad has happened to you, you might be very much like in that moment and not be able to detach from it and see the bigger picture. So for me, I think trusting the process means zooming out, kind of getting this sense of expansiveness. Maybe it's that feeling when you're at the top of a hill and you can see for miles and miles and miles, you can see all the way to the sea maybe, and you get this sense of like expansiveness. I can do anything. Like, look at all of this incredible nature around me. Look at all of this natural beauty. How can I not, when I'm a part of all of this, like how can I not expand? And we spend so much time in these four walls, staring at laptop screens. It can be really kind of insular and feel impossible to make anything change. But I think that perspective, same as maybe if you're in a plane and you're flying over a country or some mountains, you see all of these tiny little houses, you see the huge mountains below and you think, like, I'm just one person in this big world. Like, I can change my life. Like, I can do different things. You know, it gives you that detachment from the very kind of consuming present moment that you're in, or whatever you're feeling at the time. Maybe you don't feel like you're like deserving of change, or you don't feel like you're deserving of good things happening to you. Maybe it's kind of getting that overall perspective and thinking, okay, maybe I don't now, but in the future, I guess I could, like other people do. So maybe I can as well. So yeah, I think for me, trusting the process is this. The first thing I think of is this zooming out and kind of, yeah, just like levitating above your current situation, going above your house, looking in at yourself and thinking, okay, like, what is it that I'm doing that is feeling kind of stuck, feeling a bit stagnant, and how can I relax and just enjoy and try to yeah, just optimize for the longer term vision, seeing things on a larger perspective, because trusting is involving like not seeing the full picture while you're in it. So you wouldn't have to trust if you already had read the whole book and you can see the final chapters, you know what's at the end. Like, you don't need to trust because you already know it's there. But because we don't have that insight, we don't actually know what the ending is of our lives. We have to trust that it's going to end up in a good place, and we have to trust that that ending has, I don't know, been written or is up to us to write. And that while we might have some evidence from the past or from present situations, we also might not have all the evidence that it is going to work out in the long run. But trusting the process is exactly that, putting your faith in the unknown, trusting that firm belief in something or someone or the overall picture of your life, trusting that that is going to work out and having a firm belief in that. So even though you haven't read to the end of the book, you already know that it is going to be there. You believe that it is going to be good. So that's kind of what it means to me. But I think that it's definitely worth acknowledging that this can be a really hard thing to do. Trusting the process is, like I said, thrown around a lot. And it's very easy just to think, oh yeah, but like, what does that mean? Or it's all right for you to say that, but what do I actually do, you know? So I think what I'm trying to get out here is that there's a balance, right, between trusting a process to the line, you're, you know, doing everything as it says on the tin, you're grounded in whatever it is that you're doing, you're like laser eye focused on whatever it is you're doing, and you're just, you know, plodding along, trusting, getting on with it. Or there's also the other side of it and thinking, okay, well, I just need to trust the process. I just need to, like, you know, let things happen, not really do anything. Like, I can just wait for things to come to me. I can just, you know, not move until I am ready. I can just wait until the exact right moment to take any action, and kind of using it as an excuse maybe. So I think it can like be used in more negative ways to both sides, if that makes sense. So like the first side is being a bit too rigid and being a bit too like, well, I have to trust this process, like it has to work out, I must do this, I must do that, otherwise it's not going to happen. And the other side is like kind of using it as an excuse to think, okay, well, I need to be perfect, I need to feel no fear at all until I'm ready, and then I'll be able to do it, and then the process will work. So, you know, those two sides of things. And what kind of sums this up is the idea of like waiting for fearlessness. So I saw this little phrase and I was thinking, okay, so what actually is fearlessness? What do I think that is? Because I don't necessarily believe that you can be at a state where you feel absolutely no fear. Like, we're all humans, we all are going to experience fear, and that's kind of normal. Like, that's also good. You want to feel some fear, otherwise you just would do anything with all abandon and kind of ruin your life maybe. So I think what fearlessness actually is, in my opinion, is acting as if you have no fear rather than not feeling any fear in the first place. So those people that you maybe look up to that really inspire you, that you think are going to be like airy fairy, not caring about anything, they've got everything they could ever want, they will still feel fear and potentially spend some time worrying about the outcome of whatever it is they're doing, but they probably act in spite of that fear. They probably are acting as if they have none of that fear and doing it anyway, rather than not actually feeling that fear in the first place. So I think that is probably the subtle difference, in my mind at least, between what we maybe assume fearlessness is and what it actually is in practice. And I think the key part is acting, because you can still feel fear and do it anyway. Like, I can't remember what that quote is. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Maybe it's that. But even if you are scared, like, it doesn't mean you can't act. It just means it's going to be a bit harder. It means you've got that resistance. And I think that's, yeah, an interesting distinction. And this is, I guess, where comfort zones come in, because obviously there's going to be different amounts of fear. Maybe you're a little bit scared to go and meet some new people, but it's something you can probably overcome. Recently, in February for Valentine's Day, I went to this like pottery painting thing that Megan Short was hosting, like a Galentine's come on your own, meet new people event. And I was kind of scared to go on my own, especially when you're Like when I book the ticket, I'm like, oh, that's going to be great. But then when you're actually walking there, you're getting off the tube, you're walking over to the place, it's like, oh shit, like I'm actually meeting new people. Like I'm here on my own. What if I'm in the wrong place? What if I'm doing this wrong? What if I've worn it, like, entirely the wrong thing? And so while there is some fear there, for me at least, it's like a manageable level. Like I can think to myself, it's fine, like it's gonna be all right, you know. This is manageable, this is a good thing, you're pushing yourself out your comfort zone, and it's something that I can do fairly comfortably, and then each time you do it, it gets a little bit easier and easier. Just like expanding that comfort zone slightly. I kind of think of it like a little pulsating orb. Sounds really weird. Like a little pulsating ball, and it's slowly getting bigger and bigger, but kind of coming in on itself, then expanding a bit more, coming in, expanding a bit more, and gradually over time, you're like withdrawing into your comfort zone, coming out again a bit further, withdrawing, coming out a bit further, and over time, you're gonna expand your confidence, expand what you feel like you're capable of doing, and end up with this large comfort zone because you've done it and you've trust yourself that you can do it. However, there might be these things that are really, really far outside of your comfort zone and feel like just too hard, too much anxiety to do anything about them right now. And so I'd say there, like, rather than trying something that you know you're gonna just stress yourself out about unnecessarily, that's gonna cause you undue anxiety and like really kind of ruin your week, maybe just try and pick something halfway. Do something like somewhat manageable that is pushing you but isn't an overstretch. Like, you wouldn't want to go to the gym and start working out at like 120 on the leg press. You want to start at maybe 60, 70, and then try and expand from there. Those are kind of somewhat arbitrary numbers, but yeah. Somewhat arbitrary numbers, but yeah, my point is that you don't want to snap your muscles. You want to slowly build them up and strengthen them over time. So yeah, it's just a bit of a process, I guess. It's like something that you can't just do overnight. You need to trust the process. There we go. That was unplanned, but there we go. That worked out nicely. Yeah, so that's kind of my little take on fearlessness. And I think this is very intertwined with the whole trust the process thing, the whole like idea of it, the whole concept. Because you're putting your faith in the unknown, you're stepping out of what you know to be safe, and therefore, like, trusting in this thing that you haven't experienced yet or you haven't got evidence for, you don't quite know. So, you're putting your trust in something in the future, something in the unknown, and maybe someone else, or you know, this idea that's somewhat out of your control, but you're taking the action to try and get yourself there regardless, and trying to reduce the fear that you experience along the way. So, I wanted to touch on this idea of kind of scarcity and abundance. It kind of plays into the same themes, but like I said, that person who is rigidly sticking to a goal is not really trusting the process, even though they might feel like they've got this process, they're following it, they're pursuing exactly what they want, and they're going through the steps, going through the motions. They're actually kind of living in this almost like scarcity mindset. They're living in a bit of a fear state. Because if they're maybe to deviate off the path a little bit, that's going to make them feel like they're out of control and that something has gone wrong and that they can't possibly achieve anything anymore because they've deviated from that set process towards that set goal. But really, I guess part of this is the faith or the like willingness to relax into it a bit, and maybe it's not a straight line. Maybe it's not this straight path from A to B. Maybe you have to go via C to get there. Maybe you have to go via F and D to get back. You know, it is probably not going to be as linear as you think. And part of this is being like willing to fail, willing to let things happen that maybe you didn't plan for, that didn't seem like they were going to be a part of the process, but trusting that that is kind of a part of it and it's going to get you to where you want to be anyway. And to just not be thrown off by that. Life is going to be unexpected. We can't plan everything. We don't have all the information yet. And there's always going to be things that throw a spanner in the works and that catch you unawares. We can't ever expect life to not do that to us. But I think this willingness to let the process almost show you the way, you don't know maybe where to go. Like, you don't know what to do. So to some extent, you've got to just put one foot in front of the other, see what happens, see what comes up, and within that, put yourself in places where you could meet that person that could offer you that job, or you could have a conversation with someone that completely changes your perspective on something in life, or you're in a room of people and that friend of a friend has an opportunity for you that you never would have thought possible, or you meet someone that really inspires you, or someone has the opportunity to meet you and says that you've really inspired them, you know, whatever it is. Maybe you like happen to meet the love of your life, or you're in a situation with a friend and suddenly see them in a different light. You know, all of these different things. We have to put ourselves in places where possibilities could happen to us. Kind of like, I think it's Ali Abdaal that uses this phrase, but like increasing your surface area for serendipity, and just, you know, optimizing for luck, optimizing for different things to come in, different people to be able to meet you, for you to be able to meet them, and kind of doing this with a sense of like ease and flow, just relaxing into it, letting go of that rigidity of, okay, I have to get from A to B and I have to do it as quick as I can, I have to follow this step to get there. Being kind of accepting of situations along the way that might throw you off course a little bit, but maybe it's actually not throwing you off course and it's actually leading you to the right course, and just changing your route slightly to get there. And like I said, I think that rigidity is kind of playing into a scarcity mindset, whereas the opening up to the possibilities around you is this abundance mindset, thinking, okay, well, what can come in? Like, what is going to show up for me? And this sense of a bigger picture that could be played out. Dreaming big, like I said in my winter season episode 2, like, dream big, dream as big as you like. You never know what's going to happen. Try and open your eyes to different perspectives that are out there. Get this sense of expansiveness. Find yourself at the top of a hill looking out and think like, damn, I can do anything. You know, get yourself in those situations that feel easy and like the flow state, and the just enjoy it, you know, enjoying the process itself. So I think finally, trusting the process involves not just trust in that the end will be good, but it's actually a valuable tool to enjoy the actual steps of it more, to enjoy the process itself. And relaxing into it, letting go of that rigidity, will actually help you get to the final destination that you maybe are dreaming about. Or maybe you don't even know what that is, you know. I don't think many people do. But just being accepting of situations along the way and thinking, well, this may be coming to my life for a reason, if you want to think like that. Maybe this is exactly what I'm supposed to come across at this moment in my life. And just being open-minded, I guess, to all of the different possibilities that are out there, because there are so many. And I think it's easier to think like that when you're in a situation where you are coming across people, like at university, like I said at the start, where you are in a situation where you might meet someone new, or there's a guest speaker on and you go and listen to them and their work really, really inspires you. Or you bump into someone and they tell you they're going to this cool like art event and you end up going. When you're kind of in this more insular state, which I guess I'm in at the moment, it is harder to have that expansiveness and to think, okay, there's a bigger world out there. Like, this is just part of the process. But regardless, I do think that this is like the right thing for me right now. I've really needed this time to kind of recharge, reconnect with myself. I kind of just became so disconnected. Everything was really like floaty, not tethered to anything. And now I feel like I have this grounding. I'm still kind of building it up, but hopefully when I then move into my own place, like maybe somewhere with Freya, maybe somewhere with friends, you know, move into somewhere regardless of that, like in my own space, a new city perhaps, somewhere that just feels like really exciting, I feel like I'm going to be able to set myself up well and have that like grounding to then build up. So I'm very excited for that. Okay, that is everything I have for you. I'm really happy with how this episode has gone. Hopefully it's been really interesting, or if not really interesting, somewhat interesting. But yeah, I have really enjoyed this one. I'm very glad that I got time to record it before I'm off. Yeah, I will probably post some photos on Instagram. I'm kind of back on there a little bit now. I have set myself some like boundaries, I guess, with it, with Instagram, with social media. But I also want to have a bit of fun. I also want to experiment and try new things and create cool content and explore that side. So yeah, I'm back over there. It's at Lucy Talks. I'll leave it in the show notes and I'd love to see you over there. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Have a great week and I'll be back again next time. Bye.